want you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need ears to hear, a heart to perceive what you're speaking to me. I need eyes to see what you're all about within me. Amen. I'm going to take you kind of on an odd journey this morning because the Lord wanted me to convey how often we want to control.
Oh, thank you so much. You can just turn around and go in that corner right now. You said you were going to do that.
Well, I said want to. It didn't say we would do it.
Oh, God, I don't want to know.
Yeah, you do want to know because... See, it goes back to Abraham. So I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Abraham is the author and the beginning of a relationship with the Creator that shattered many myths. And he was chosen by God. It wasn't God being searched out by Abraham. So, if you'll just realize that God is on your case. He's looking at your heart. He sees more about you than you know about yourself. And he knows more about you than you know about yourself. So, verse 1 says, sometimes later God tested Abraham. Tested should have a circle around it. Does it have a test? Does it have a little circle in your Bible? It might be wise to put a circle around tested because I didn't like the idea that God would test me. Okay? He said to Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. So notice how God has a knowledge of God's intense release about this father-son relationship. He knows that this particular person, now he's got an older brother, he's got a wife, but this son, this only son, this is way beyond, all right? Whom you love, why would that be in there? Why would God specify, Abraham, I know you. I know you've got an older son. I know you've got a wife. But this son whom you love.
Wouldn't it be a sacrifice almost to help him?
If there's no love, you don't care. It's not important if somebody's falling apart that you don't know anything about and have no relationship with.
It's also a picture of God putting his son on the altar.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, have you ever looked at a family situation and you say, I wonder if they're worthwhile? Why should I help them? Because they might not have any value to God or me. But God is looking at Abraham and he's looking at the love he has for his son. Yet he's the author of that son coming into his life. Because if you go back, he's the son of promise. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him one on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Notice again, I will tell you about. So he's asking him to go out in confidence and in faith. He's not specifying because I'm sure he knew the region. So there are times God will not tell you all the details about what's going on in your life.
Amen.
He's going to want you to walk out and stretch a little and to trust him by choice. That he'll reveal the next piece to the puzzle down the road. Mary Jo, I remember in February when you said, I want Holy Ghost duck cake on my mouth. And everything was falling apart at that time. And you asked the Holy Spirit to give you that duct tape and to literally block your confessions so that you wouldn't land in the old destructive patterns, because you were an unhappy little woman that had a lot of hurt. But you gave that opportunity for God to shut your mouth, not to confess what you saw, but to begin to wait on him to see how he would develop the next level. And you were not a happy camper, and neither were we, watching you suffer. But we kind of held you in prayer, and you survived. And God would choose a Sunday morning for you to get an email from your daughter. Okay? And here you were, right in this room where you had received prayer for weeks and weeks, and all of a sudden a miracle happened.
Almost a month to the day. It was April 16th,
and today's the 17th. Okay. Did God know and love you a month ago?
Yes.
Yeah. He shows his love to us in strange ways. Yet he asks us to keep on going forward, even when we're having a hard time and we're questioning him. Okay? Verse 3, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. So he started in the right direction. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. On the third day. That speaks volumes to me, because we are living now in the third day since Christ was crucified and resurrected. It's been 2,000 years. We're at the beginning of the third day, girl. 2,000 years has already gone by. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we, notice again, we, we'll come back to you. That's a comment and a statement of faith. Because who had the knife? He did. Mm-hmm. Who had the wood? It was on his son's back. It was really a picture of the coming Messiah. A picture of the crucifixion. If Abraham had not passed the test, would we have salvation today?
He would have had to find somebody else.
That is the most important thing that I want you to realize right now. God may give you a commission, and you might get stubborn on him. I said might, because you've got free will. Okay? Every single one of us has free will. He'll let you fall into the deepest pit if you shall choose. But you can pick yourself back up and start confessing what he says about you rather than your own opinion. Because your opinion of yourself, especially after you fail, is usually pretty ugly.
Amen.
Why am I aware that you guys do this? Because I do it. I fall short. I don't like it, but I do. Abraham, verse 6, took the wood for a burnt offering and placed it on his son. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father! Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Watch this response, verse 8. Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. I don't know about you, but I've got two sons. And I've got two grandsons. And I've got three great-grandsons. And any one of them, tying them up and laying them on an altar, would not be my cup of tea. I really believe I would rebel. Knowing my old nature, I would say, God, there's no way. When my godchild yesterday got that first hug and my heart started to bleed, and the press came into my heart to give him a second hug, because now he's got to go back to California with no wife. After 30 years of being together, she's now in the ground, what's left of her, in a little tiny container. And my heart began to weep as I let him go, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, give him a second hug, because he's hurting. And he doesn't want to think about it. He wants to escape. He wants to run anywhere but where the pain is. I love this boy. Would I like to take away the space of pain that he's going through? Yes. Would Abraham like to take away the pain that his son is now on that pile of wood? He's got the fire and the knife. Amen? Verse 9, when he reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. By the way, he had to be approximately 30 years old. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, or from the heavenly realm, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught in a horn. Caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided, etc. God made provisions for the man of faith. They did return to those that were waiting for him. In my case, there was a space and time when the Lord told me that I had to put someone on that altar. And I'm not going to tell you who. But I didn't want to do it. On the closing day of the feast, we were told by the Holy Spirit and made very clear that we were offering up the house of prayer back on that altar for him, and to let the fire come and consume whatever it is that he needed to consume, to burn it up. And if it was to be released back to us, that we would obey and do exactly as he said, because we do not want to serve ourselves. Oh, that's weak. Amen. Say, we do not want to serve ourselves.
We do not want to serve ourselves.
Our soul.
Our
our mind, our will, our emotions say you better take care of yourself. But God says, let me do it. I can do a better job. Because I know the beginning. All the way to the end. I'm going to take you to one more verse. And it's Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear ones, I'm doing the Amplified. As you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now go on not only with enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent. Work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and completely your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust. That is, with serious caution, tenderness and consciousness, watchfulness against temptation, timidity, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Verse 13 is the most important. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for a good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Do all things without grumbling and fault-finding, complaining against God, and questioning and doubting among yourselves, that you may show yourself to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated children of God, without blemish, etc., etc., etc. Passing this test and listening to him and trusting on his ability to carry you to the finish line is what I'm really trying to get you to see today. It's not all about how powerful you are, how strong-willed you can be, how controlled you can circumvent any pain to you and to others. Because control has that issue. Well, if I can control this, they won't hurt her or hurt him.
Amen.
It's deception. St. Paul is telling the Philippians, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually working in you. Holy Spirit is actually working inside of us to bring to completion what he wants from each of us. And it's not comfortable to let him do it. How do you think Abraham felt when he saw that ram in the thicket?
Relief.
Ecstatic. Was it provided by him?
No.
Was it prepared by God? Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
There are some in my heart.
There are some in my heart.
That are laying on that altar right now.
That are laying on that altar right now.
And I want to pull them off.
And I want to pull them off.
Yet God.
Is able to provide
a lamb in the thicket for me.
He will provide
something awesome.
Yes, he will.
Something outstanding. So that I can have the same relief
that
Abraham had
when he looked up
when the angel got a hold of his case.
I need angels on my case, Lord.
Because sometimes I want to help and fix everything. To stop the pain. I don't want to self-medicate. That medicine cabinet's pretty handy. Eh?